Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, I've got a couple of little announcements. Some of you have noticed that my honey bunny is not here. Cheryl is gone. And some of you come every Sunday so you know what happened, and some of you don't, so you don't know what happened. But a couple of weeks ago, her daughter and her husband were down in Florida on a job, and Cheryl's daughter had a stroke and a brain bleed. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was really awful. But she had a stroke and a brain bleed. In fact, they took her to the doctor, to the hospital there in St. Petersburg, Florida. And when the doctor checked her, he said, "We've got to do immediate surgery." So they did. And then after the surgery was over, his first statement was, "She'll not make it." But of course, Cheryl being a woman of faith, you know, when they called us, we were in the van on the way to the airport. Cheryl said, "I'm going to Florida," and I understood that. We get right over here at 114, and they called her and told her she wasn't going to make it. And so Cheryl, it's her daughter, so immediately she went into a meltdown. Like everybody, I had to get rough with her. I had to tell her to stop doing that. God don't hear those prayers of meltdown. But she said, "But it's my daughter." I said, "That's why you got to stop it. We got to stand on the word." So she repented, and we started standing on the word. Took her on to the airport, and by 11 o'clock that morning, although they called us about 3 o'clock in the morning, by 11 o'clock that morning, she was at the hospital in Florida. That's what you call getting it on, right? But anyway, she has stayed with her every day since, and the doctors were amazed. The same doctor that said she wasn't going to make it, after we prayed several times, and many other people prayed, but we prayed, after all those prayers, that doctor, I think it was last Sunday, I think, said, "I've never seen anybody with this bad of a problem recover this quick." They said, she said, I release her to go to rehab. And so we got an airplane and everything and put Christy and Cheryl and Eric, her husband, on that thing, and we had done our legwork, and we found the best rehab center, they say, in the whole U.S., and it's in Colorado. So we flew her out there, and they put her in it right, immediately put her to work. But Cheryl said, "It's going to be a long, hard road to hoe, but we're going to make it." So we're not going to give up. So I want everybody to remember, every time you stop, we're going to go over the way to do this. But I want everybody, and before we leave here today, we're going to pray special for Christy. I want all of you that will take that challenge to take the word and use the word and pray the word over Christy. Because I would like to see her fully recovered in a very short period of time. I'd like to see the doctor's socks blowed off out there.
Praise God.
I have heard that before. She's not going to live. And we all know what my time was, 15, 16, 17 years ago, whatever it was, when my granddaughter was killed in a car wreck with my wife and my daughter and little Kelly. She was almost... Little Kelly was so awesome. Her seatbelt pulverized her pelvis, and the doctor said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage. And then he says, it will be 2.5 to 3 months minimum before she can walk with a walker. So I took the Word of God, John 20:23, and it says that I can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything. So what do you do with that? You have to stand in faith on it is written. And so for little Kelly, which they said would have, they said she might live, but she will have brain damage, and it'll be 2.5 to 3 months before she can even start walking with a walker. But I took John 20:23 and quoted that verse and prayed over her, and then I said, I guarantee she will do a supernatural recovery because I used the Word of God and I'm standing on God's Word.
Amen.
Well, much to their amazement, in a week, she was out of the hospital walking with a walker.
Praise God.
And a little over 2 weeks, she was back in school running and playing like nothing ever happened.
Amen.
She was completely healed. We've already been longer than that with Christy, so I don't know what God's doing here, but I know He's doing a work because we're standing on the Word, and she's going to get well. But the thing that we have got to know, and for those of you that know how to pray in faith, the first thing you've got to realize is that the God that we serve is a faith God.
Yeah.
He's faith God, and nothing but faith pleases Him. He clearly tells us in the Word, without faith it's impossible to please Me. Now then, what do you think you're going to get from Him if you do it your way? Not very much. So if you're screaming and going into hysteria and screaming, oh God, just let her live. No, that ain't what you want. That is not what you want. You want her to live, but you want her to be recovered completely, 100% supernatural. And I mean, with Caitlin and Kelly both back years ago, whenever the car wreck happened, I'll never forget that day that Dr. Davis, a precious, beautiful lady, she loved Jesus. She was a good Christian woman. She was a doctor in the Cook's Medical Center. When she kept telling me, Mr. Scrivener, when we remove the life support, Caitlin will die. I said, there's not a chance. Not a chance. She said, how can you say that? She said, you know if we remove the life support, she's going to die. I said, if I didn't have Mark 11:23, now that's that scripture Dave put on the board there just a while ago. If I didn't have Mark 11:23 or John 15:7, if I didn't have those promises, then I'd say you're right. But I have those promises, and my promises come from God.
Yes.
Is God's promises ever wrong?
No.
No, never. He's never wrong. He's always right. And He tells you what to do. Now then, if you're going to pray for somebody, you've got to know to be able to get a prayer answered. The first thing you've got to do is you got to know that God does answer prayer, and that He will, and that His promises are all yes and amen. So when you study the Word, when you come upon those scriptures, God hears prayer and answers prayer, and all of His promises are yes and amen every time. So if you know that, you have something you can stand on. That means that you can ask for something, and God will do it. So if you've got that scripture, after you've learned that God, just like we said last Sunday, God watches over His Word, and He's ready to perform His Word. That's Jeremiah 1:12. And Jeremiah 1:12, if God is watching over His Word, He's ready to perform His Word, then find you a promise and stand on that promise.
Amen.
Just like we did with that young man for that 10 months on his eyes. That young man had great faith. I'm telling you, I'm going to have 2020 or 2010. I'm going to go beyond him. I mean, he had 20/20 plus, so I'm going to have 20/10 vision in both eyes, up close, far away, night and day, in the name of Jesus. Did he say, whatever you want, you can have it if you believe it?
Yes.
All I got to do is believe it. So one day I'll have that. I really have it right now, but it hadn't manifested because my faith level is not high enough. Somebody might say, my gosh, if your faith level is not high enough, we got a problem. But that's the way it works. That's absolutely the way it works. I mean, one of these days, I remember that I had a problem. And I had a sinus problem, and I was really having a real chore. And I had sinned, and the sin was just, you wouldn't even thought it was a sin, but it's such a tiny little sin. But with God, sin is sin. And so that little sin cut me out of the loop. And so I couldn't make it work. So I knew the first thing I need to do before I can get a prayer answered is get my sins confessed. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to confess my sin. Now then, if I do not confess my sin, I can be in this a long, long time. But I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to remit my own sin. I'm going to have other people pray for me and remit my sins. And I'm going to believe that my sins are confessed. Once my sins are confessed and I've stood on the Word of God and I believe my sins are confessed, now I have legal right over the enemy so I can command him to leave. I have no authority over the enemy as long as I have sin in my life. Like Dave keeps talking about, you're in the wrong tree. You know, you got to get out of that wrong tree and you got to get into the right tree if you ever want to get healed. That's where healing is in the right tree, the tree of life. You've got to get into that tree. So when you remit your sins, when you first know that God has to have his word, you find a scripture that you can stand on. You take that scripture, you take it, and then after you got the scripture, the first thing you do is remit sin. You get the sins remitted. Now, as soon as you get the sin remitted, before you have time to sin again, you want to kick that devil out. You want to tell him, Mr. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I am forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. I'm in the right tree now. I'm in the tree of life. So you have no hold on me. So get out of my life in the name of Jesus. And sometimes you have to get rough with him. You can't just take it. You can't just be kind of lackadaisical. You need to get, like Matthew 11:12 says, since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. But the violent take it by force. Is that right?
Yes.
So you have to get a little rough with him once in a while. I mean, really rough with him. You know, and so that's what you do. You get that devil, you kick him out, and you can, once you got that done, then you can take any one of those promises you want. Just find you a promise and stand on that promise. And I mean, stand on that promise.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do right now. I want each one of you in your own heart, I want you to think, Lord, I want to remit my sin. I want to clean up my act. I want to make sure that if I have any sin in my life this week, that I forgive my sin. And if I forgive my sins are forgiven.
Yes.
He says, whoever sins you forgive, well, you can forgive your own.
Yes.
You're a son or a daughter of God. So I'm going to take John 20:23 that says I can forgive sin and I'm going to forgive my sin.
Yes.
Then I'm going to take a promise. What promise? John 20:23, John 14:13-14. Just think, John 14:12. Just on and on and on. But think of one of those scriptures. Find that scripture. Lock that scripture into your heart.
Amen.
And command, after you've done that, put it in your heart. Say, now, devil, I'm going to throw you out. You're going to go away and you're not going to come back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you stand on that promise. Then you ask the Lord, after you've remitted your sin, you've kicked out the enemy, then you need to ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to heal and restore her body or your body or whatever part it is you need. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm standing on these promises. I'm rebuking the enemy for Christy. I command those spirits of curse, leave Christy and go to the abyss and never come back. Never come back. And then, Lord, I thank you for completely restoring Christy Madison from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Make her every whit whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, and we have a covenant in this book that says in Matthew 18:19, if two of us agree on what? Anything. If two of us agree on anything we ask, it shall be done for you by your Father which is in heaven. So all we need to do now is stress, thank you, Lord. We've stood on the word. We need to praise you and thank you. I want to thank the Lord while I'm over here at this. I don't know whether Cheryl's listening or not, but she's out there in Colorado in the rehab center with Christy. And I hate to even use these terms, but the doctor told Cheryl that Christy's probably going to be in rehab a year.
No way.
We're not going to believe that.
No.
We're going to stand on God's promises, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so the thing about it, oh, by the way, there's something else I want to say, some of you. Before we can have time to gather here again, we're going to go through Thanksgiving. Is that right?
Yes.
Thanksgiving is next Thursday. The next day after Thanksgiving, the 23rd, is Cheryl's birthday. She will be 71 years old on her birthday next Friday. So I just, all I can tell her from here is happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Honey, I don't know if you're listening or whatever, but if you are listening, happy birthday. If you're not listening, I'll tell you tonight when I talk to you. But I'm telling her happy birthday now. And we are to everybody. Everybody loves Cheryl, and everybody loves Christy, her daughter. Now, I don't know how many hits we had on those websites, but I know that it was the last accurate one I had. It was a little over 11,000. There's a whole bunch of people has called in, and so many people want to go see her. But it's gotten so bad about people wanting to go in, and they can't go in because it does devastating things to her. It really does. So the doctor had to put a sign on the door, absolutely no visitors. Everybody loves her. Everybody wants to go see her, but that's not what she needs. She needs people to stay away so she can recover. So anyway, you know, sometimes, let me tell you something. With the promises to tell you the faith that we need, all of us need to work on this. Me and you and everybody needs to work on faith. If we had the faith that we need, the faith that the Word of God says we have, and the promises that He said, that's ours. We should be able to pray over somebody and see it happen right then. So why do we see so few of those? I think, like Dave said, we're listening to the wrong thing. We're listening to the wrong thing. I mean, I think of the few times in my life that I've prayed over somebody, laid hands on somebody, and just got violently wild with my faith. Like Johnny Brumfield. Johnny Brumfield, whenever I spoke that night about an hour and a half, 2 hours on faith, and then I reached out and took that man by the hand and told him, now you're healed, stand up. He says, now? I said, yes. And I jerked him. I thought about the man at the Gate Beautiful in the temple. Well, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that man got up and walked. after they reached down and grabbed him by the hand and jerked him out. They literally jerked the devil out of him. And he stood up and he walked. But that was all on my heart when I was praying over Johnny Brumfield that night down in Manny, Louisiana, a little church with probably 75 people there. I got to see God show up to do such an awesome miracle that Johnny Brumfield was completely healed right there on the spot. Now, I don't understand why that happens like that sometimes, because wouldn't you love to be so tied up in your faith that you could just walk by in the hospital and say, I remit your sins, now get up and walk and see everybody you prayed for get healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's got to be available to all of us. It's got to be available. The promises are there. We don't even dream that we can do that. But I believe that we're going to see that day happen. I really believe we're going to see that day happen. But with all these things that are happening, all the different devastating things, I mean, fires and earthquakes and everything, tornadoes and you name it, it's happening. I want you to know I really believe that we're right on the verge of the return of Christ.
Amen.
I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see it happen. I really think that Rosh Hashanah will be the system, the days that it happens. So if that happened, we just went through Rosh Hashanah just a few weeks ago. That means we got another year. But another year, you know how fast another year goes by?
Very fast.
I mean, very fast. So who knows what's going to happen in the next year? But I'm going to tell you just like the Lord told Paul Crouch. Lord, what do I tell these people about when the rapture is going to happen? He said, tell them to stay ready. Stay ready, because none of us knows when the rapture is going to take place. But when it does take place, yeah, it will happen. I guarantee the rapture will happen. And the thing you don't want to happen is you don't want to be left standing here when it happens.
Amen.
When it hits this church, you want to make sure there ain't not one single soul left in this place. Not one.
Amen.
We want everybody to believe in Jesus. Now, that's the password. That's the magic password. Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, I mean, I saw when Cheryl's daddy passed away with that stroke he had, and Cheryl didn't know whether her daddy was saved or not. She said he'd used the name of the Lord a few times, but always used it the wrong way. You know how people use the name of the Lord in a word of profanity. That doesn't mean you know him. It just means you're cursing him. So when she asked me, she said, would you pray for my dad? I don't know if he's saved or not. And here he is on his deathbed. This is not a good time to be on your deathbed when you don't know whether they know Jesus or not. But some people, you can tell them and tell them and tell them, and they just won't listen. So anyway, I knelt down on the side of the bed to pray for him. And the minute my knees touched the bed, I saw her daddy falling backwards into the abyss. I mean, just like this, he's going over backwards, right into the dark of the abyss. He is falling into hell because he had never acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. People will tell you, my daddy or my granddaddy or my brother, whatever, he was too good a man. There ain't no way he could go to hell. Let me tell you what, there ain't nobody good enough to go to heaven. Nobody. I don't care who you are. The scripture says there is none good but God. And so you, if you're not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. So, but the scripture, God made it so simple. He said, if you will just confess the name of Jesus, I'll take you.
Yeah.
That's all you got. Anybody that calls on the name of Jesus is going to be one of my children. So he didn't make it very hard, did he?
No.
And so I never cried for anybody in my life like I cried for Howard Butler that night. I didn't hardly know Cheryl's daddy. I hardly even knew him. But I didn't know him intimately at all, just barely. We'd only been married a few months. And I'd met her daddy two times, and so I didn't know him. But I knew one thing. I knew what I saw. I knew he was falling into hell, and I didn't want the man, whether I knew him or didn't know him. I don't want nobody to go to that place.
No.
Nobody. I'm not your worst enemy. You don't want nobody to go to hell. So anyway, when I started crying out, Howard, call on the name of Jesus. And Cheryl started saying, yes, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus. She didn't know what was going on. But as I'm sitting there and continuing to say, Howard, call on the name of Jesus, finally, all of a sudden, he just barely whispered it out. He said, Jesus. When he did, he stopped going over backwards. He leaned forward and went right into the light, and he disappeared into the light of heaven. Let me tell you, that's too close. That's too close. Well, did you know that you don't have to be close?
Get him now.
Yeah, I mean, it's already been paid for, just like that healing. It's already been paid for. All you got to do is believe and confess. Did you know really all it takes? In fact, I know a man that there was a guy that had terribly sick. I don't remember what was wrong with him, but had something terribly wrong with him. And several men had just prayed over him and anointed him with oil, but he wasn't getting any better. They went over to this man of God, this preacher, and they said, what can we do for him? He said, well, nothing else works. Just, he said, you've anointed him with oil, so they just go over there and make a circle around him, completely circle around him, all hold hands. He said, there are six of you. He said, put your hands together and just start walking around him saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he said, just keep it up. So they went over there and got their hands and got around him. This guy was deathly sick and started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Within 15 or 20 minutes, the guy began to move. And another 15 or 20 minutes, he was up standing in the middle of them running around. He was completely healed. And what did it?
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. Where Jesus said, in my name, you can ask for anything in my name. What is wrong with us? And another thing you want to make sure that you're doing when you're praying for people is you want to make sure you're walking in love. Because if you're not walking in love, God don't show up. He don't show up. But I believe with all my heart, and if you'll start practicing this way of doing things, is the first thing you do is you call on the Lord. I don't care who you're going to pray for. For what? For healing, for anything, whatever you're going to do. The first thing you need to do is say, Lord, you said in your word, you watch over your word and you're ready to perform your word. Now, Lord, if you watch over your word to perform your word, then you said in John 20:23, whenever I forgive somebody's sin, they're forgiven. So you look at whoever you're going to pray for and you say, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. And then you need to do like we did that day with friends. Whenever we remitted his sins, then the next thing I did, every one of us that was in the whole car, there's four of us in that, I remitted all of their sins, everybody was in the car. And then I washed all four of us, and including friends, I washed us in the blood. And that if we hadn't been washed in the blood lately, probably every one of you wouldn't hurt anything if you were washing yourself in the blood every day.
Amen.
You know, because you know you sin every day, somehow, some way. It may not be great, but you know, anything you do that's not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So if anything you do that's not of faith is sin, do you think you're going to sin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. You're going to do it. You know, you're going to sin. So when you get that sin taken care of, then the very next thing you want to do is cast out the devil. Because once you have legal right, once you kick out that sin, then you have legal right to kick out that devil. He has no hold on you as long as never. I don't know, I don't have any idea sometimes when you go to pray for somebody what their sin is. But sometimes if you can't find that sin, you can't get them healed. You know, it's just like I told Dave yesterday, me and him was talking. I said, Lord, I do not know what I have done. I don't know, and I may be swinging over there in the wrong tree. I don't know. But I'm working on being in the right tree and everything, and believing that God done everything already, and I'm healed. It's just like I went to the bank last week, and there was a guy while I was standing there, and a girl was doing the checks. While I was standing there, all of a sudden when I got through, the guy, he I don't know whether he had a CNI dog or what, but he had a big old dog with him, brought it in the bank. But anyway, he said, I see you have the same problem I have. And I said, what's that? He said, I have Parkinson. I said, well, I don't have the same thing you have because I'm healed. I ain't going to agree with him. If he's got Parkinson, he can have it and he can keep it. I ain't got it. Jesus. In fact, I want us to turn to Isaiah 4. All of a sudden, I can't think where it's at. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Yeah. I want Dave or somebody to read that scripture. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I want to see what that says.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Okay, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that belongs to you. And it doesn't make any difference what the symptoms are or what it looks like or nothing else. It is written that by his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
I don't have anything. I don't care what happens to me. I'm healed. I'm healed because it's already done. He paid for it on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's already done. So I'm going to stand on that promise in Jesus' name. And if I believe that, then let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. And let's see what in the New Testament. Now, this was the Old Testament. Let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Let's see what Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says.
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
There he took your sickness and removed your infirmities. If he did it, is it already done?
Yeah.
You notice he even referenced Isaiah 53. So that's what we were standing on, and now we moved it over into the New Testament. And then, of course, we're right there at Matthew 8. Read Matthew 8:13 and see what happens. What does Matthew 8:13 say?
We're getting there. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Now, ain't that something? As we believe, if you believe that you're not healed, you're not healed. If you believe you are healed, you are healed. It's just it's a done deal. I think of these promises when I think of Matthew and that scripture, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. We see there, in fact, read Matthew 8, 16 and 17 one more time.
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Now, when you read that, you find out why the enemy don't want you to believe that it's possible for a Christian to have a demon. If you ask people, and I've asked this question many times with many people, including pastors and everything else, do you believe that a Christian can have a demon? And nearly every time without fail, they'll all tell you, no, a Christian cannot have a demon, but they're wrong. I mean, they are wrong. I mean, this right here, Jesus, he kicked out these evil spirits, and once he kicked them spirits out, then he laid hands on the sick and they were healed. But many of them had demons. But that's the problem. These spirits, they come into people, and of course, if you're not walking in obedience to his word, you can get one real easy. You get into unforgiveness and bitterness, you can really get one in a hurry. But those spirits, they will come to get you. And they will hang on, and I mean, sometimes you really have to get violent. I mean, even after you've repented of your sin, you have to get violent with those devils to kick them out. And when you kick them out, you need to learn to do things. Ever use the examples that the Lord used in his word. Whenever you kick out the devil, you command those beasts to leave, then command them things to never come back. I mean, Jesus, because I've seen that a lot of times. When you kick out a spirit, somebody gets healed. And I've seen instantaneous healings. And then the next day, they're sick again with the same problem. Well, they either didn't repent, didn't stop sinning, or whatever. The enemy will come back and put a little tug on you or something, and he'll say, see there, you wasn't healed. You thought you were healed. Wow, and as soon as he gets you to agree with him, I thought I was healed, bam. He'd done it to you again. He's fooled you again. So don't let him do that to you. That beast, I mean, stand on the word. Once you get him kicked out and you get healed, stand on the word of God with no doubt in your heart. And if he tries to get back in, I mean, whatever you have to do. The other night, Jenny and me and Cheryl and some people were talking. And I told them, Cheryl said, one time Thurman had a demon appeared right over his bed. And I woke up, this demon he was laughing at me. I mean, he was just up there, just like he's laying there, you know. About this high, I'm laying on the bed, and he's about that high above the bed, just laying stretched out, just laughing at me. He's trying to intimidate me and scare me. But I know it's a spirit, and I know I have all power and all authority over that beast, so I just jumped up in the bed, reached up and put my arms around him and squeezed in and pulled him down in the bed with me. As soon as I did, he was gone. And whenever I saw that, I looked over here, and here's another little one about half that size. He's floating around, and he's floating real close. He's about this far from the bed. After the other one got away, I just reached up and put my arm around his neck and punched him right in the mouth. Cheryl said, what are you doing over there? I said, these demons, I'm going to kick them out. She said, what did you see? I said, I saw two of them. They were right here. She said, weren't you afraid? I said, no. I mean, if my big brother Jesus is laying there in the bed with me,
all right.
I mean, why should I be afraid of a crazy little demon? Isn't that true?
Yes.
I can just see Jesus now whenever we get the sins confessed and repented, and we kick out some kind of a demon or something, and the beast tries to come back, and you grab him by the nape of the neck and say, no, you can't do that. And I can just see the devil looking at me and saying, who do you think you are? And I can just see my big brother Jesus tap him on the shoulder. Says, did you hear what my son said?
Yes.
Don't you love it?
Yes.
Whenever you, when you know that you know that you know that you're a Jesus kid, a Jesus son or a Jesus daughter, you're not afraid of anything. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've walked or where you hadn't walked. If you know that your big brother Jesus is, did he say he would never forsake you or never leave you? You can't get rid of him. I don't care what you try to do, you cannot get rid of your big brother. He's there all the time. What a comforting feeling. I will never forgive you, never leave you. So, and then when he asks anything in my name, well, so go ahead, what do you want, son? Well, I want certain things to happen. He said, well, ask. Just like that time whenever Cheryl was on that airplane on the way to Norway. I had prayed over her and prayed over her. Nothing. In fact, she was getting worse, I think, instead of better. She said, last time she got up to go by me to go to the bathroom, she hit me on the knee and said, honey, pray for me. I said, I have been praying for you. But she wasn't getting any better for some reason. I don't know what the sin was, but we had one. So anyway, I just told her. So I told the Lord, I said, would you please heal my wife. I don't want to go all the way to Norway with her like this. Yeah, he said, son, you're begging. I don't answer prayers of begging. You do something in faith, and I'll take care of your wife. So I take the word, and I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm using John 14:13-14, and I'm asking you to restore and heal Cheryl completely, and make her perfect in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, it's done. And then that's all it took. I used the word. I stood on the word. And he answered the word. He always answers his word. Now the next thing I want to see that little body of Christie's. I want to see her completely restored. Now I think about when people say, you know, if you want to have a long life and live long and good and everything, you need to eat this, or you need to eat that, or you need to drink this, or drink that. Let me tell you, folks, that may be true to a degree. But if I ever saw a woman that takes care of her flesh, it's Cheryl's daughter. I mean, she is a beautiful woman. I mean, she eats right. When we go out to dinner, she's got to have this, that. She eats everything perfect. I never seen anybody any more than perfect than she is. But look what happened. There's still something wrong. Somewhere, somehow, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it or not, but something I want to mention. In the last few weeks, how many testimonies have we had? Have we had a bunch? Now then, in the last 2 weeks, how many have we had? We've had only one or two, and we didn't bring them in here. Me and Jenny was talking last night. She said, that's a good testimony. We need to take that with us. But we forgot it. We didn't do it. But while me and Cheryl was together, and we were praying together every night, 7 days a week, we had a stack of testimonies every week. You reckon maybe we might ought to come against the enemy,
yes,
command that devil to get his hands off of our little church, off of each one of us, because we were definitely in his kingdom. Do you see what I mean?
Yes,
so when you pray, I mean, this morning I lay there in the bed and taking authority over the spirits, commanding him devils to leave, get out, go away, and never come back. I said, Lord, spiritual warfare is necessary. We have to stand on your word. Because if we don't, the enemy's going to come in like a flood. And he's going to do all the damage he can. So, I will have to say, when he hits Christie, like he hit Christie, that Cheryl has not done anything. I want to say not done, that's not a right term. She's been very busy with the Lord.
Limited.
I mean, you know, she has been praying over people, sharing Jesus. Every time I talk to her on the phone, she talks about another person or another doctor or something that she told about the Lord. She's just like me. She talks about Jesus to everybody. Nobody gets by her very long, you know, without hearing about Jesus, right? That's just the way she is. That's what we all should be. But that may be, but still, what I, the way I started to say that, it really has cut down on our praise reports because we have not been coming against the enemy enough. So I'm going to ask y'all this week, everybody, one or two times a day, you know, if you don't pray, nothing's going to happen. God may be trying to train all of us how to be overcomers. Every one of us. Does he want every one of us to be more than a conqueror?
Yes.
Absolutely, he does. And, you know, to have a great testimony, you got to have great tests.
Yes.
Now, who likes terrible, great, hard testimony tests? I don't like them. I was laughing with Barron the other day. I told him, you know, I said, all those years that lazy old body of his fought and resisted and everything else, when he'd get it up in the morning and get in the afternoon and say, you're going to do this, body. You're going to work out. You're going to pick up that weight. That body said, but hadn't you rather sit down over here and drink a Coke and eat some popcorn and watch the TV? That'd be a whole lot better. But he said, no, we ain't going to do that. We're going to work. And so he beat his body into it didn't happen easy, did it, Barry? But look at the results. The results, he became the world champion heavyweight lifter. I'm telling you, man. I mean, my hat's off to the boy, I'm telling you. Yeah, my hat's off to that young man. He had a goal, and he set out to do it, an accomplishment, and he did it. And I'm sure, especially when he broke his knee that time, I'm sure if there was ever a time when he wanted to quit and give up, it's when he busted that knee.
Yep.
But he didn't.
Nope.
He just went back in there and got healed, stayed in there and prayed. And the one and only that could fix him showed up.
Amen.
Jesus showed up and fixed his knee, and now he's fully recovered.
Amen.
And now, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So this week, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to help each one of us. We come against the enemy. It is written in Luke 10:19-20, we have been given all power and all authority over the enemy. I command the enemy to leave this church, to leave each one of our lives, go to the abyss and never come back. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for driving away the enemy. I thank you for blessing us as a church. I ask you to send warring angels in here to walk with us and protect us. And may your Holy Spirit, walk right beside us and keep us all free and safe and free of those devils. And I command every spirit of curse to leave and go to the abyss and never, ever come back. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for doing a great work. I thank you for bringing Christy home quick.
Yes.
We want that girl to come home, Lord. You said we could ask for anything, Lord, anything. So we want a supernatural healing of Christy. We want you to bring her and Cheryl back home and just raise them up and do such a great and mighty work on both those girls that them and Eric and all of them have something to really talk about when they tell about Jesus and what he really did, just like I did with Caitlin and Kelly and all of them down there at the hospital at Cook's Medical Center. What a test. What a test. But that test is still changing people's lives. And it will be changing people's lives for years to come. And while I'm talking about these miracles and some of these things, I want you to know, all of you, that I try my best to tell the stories that happened to us the best way I can with the knowledge that I have. If I tell a story one way and you hear it another way 6 months later, don't worry about it. I mean, there may be parts to it that you don't know about. And sometimes that's the case, that people don't know what happens. in the ministry. So if I make a mistake, you know, do what the Lord says, just forgive me and press on. Because you got to remember, I'm still a man, a human being, and I make mistakes, right? Usually, as a rule, to tell these stories as many times as I've told them, and the Holy Spirit lead me, I think I've had very few mistakes. Most people, I remember whenever I told the story on radio down here about Philip and his warts. That guy asked us to come down and tell the story on a Dallas radio station. Philip's mother went with us, and she wanted to go too. So we went down there, and as I told the story, his mother, after it was over and the show was over, she said, "You know, I don't know how you do that." But she said, "You told that story, even to the scriptures and everything that you used. Everything was perfect, just exactly like it happened." She said, "That's been a year ago. I couldn't even have begun to remember that. But guess why I could remember it? Because I'm going to use it for the glory of God, and it was the Holy Spirit talking through me and not me."
Amen.
That's how he could make it all work perfect. But you know, when you tell a story about a little boy and his warts, that's a pretty awesome story. I don't know, have any idea how many times I've told that story, but I've told it a lot. I told that story down in Big Sandy. When I told that story, there's a man came around to the side after the teaching was over and says, "Thurman, I want to tell you about I think it was his granddaughter. Might have been his little daughter, but I think it was his granddaughter. He said, "My granddaughter had 16 warts on the back of her hand. When you told that story about Philip," he said, "my little granddaughter looked up at me and says, 'Daddy, granddaddy, Jesus doesn't love Philip any more than he loves me. If he loved Philip enough to take his warts off, I believe he'll take mine off.'" And he said, "I looked down at her hand and 16 warts fell off her hand onto the floor." The other day, I had a woman, some show somewhere or some tape, a woman called me and said, "I just listened to that story, and I want you to know that you told it perfect." She said, "That was my husband and my granddaughter, and I happened to be listening to one of your tapes and heard you tell that very story." She said, "It was perfect." Isn't that amazing? Just think, that little girl, she heard a story and believed, and God healed all. She said the warts just fell, 16 of them, they just fell off on the floor. You reckon that little girl was living in the right tree? Ain't that something? Wow. Wow. Okay, so this week, I don't know, what time is it?
4:00.
Okay, so anyway, I want y'all to promise me this week that you will pray for Christy. I want you to do some spiritual warfare for us, for the church. So if you don't practice, you never learn how to do it. So you need to do it. Don't just come out here and think you're going to get to do nothing. You come out here, we're going to put you to work. Is that right?
That's right.
We want you doing something. So praise our Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for all these folks that do come out. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing every one of them. I thank you for the things you do for them. I thank you for the things you do for this church, for the people in this church. I thank you for all the miracles and the healings that you do and the wonderful thing. And Lord, I just believe with all my heart that you're coming again soon.
Yes.
We're waiting for you to come again. the rapture of the church is not, I don't believe there's anything you need to do before you can come and catch away the church. I mean, before your second coming, there's a lot of things that's got to happen, but not the rapture. And Lord, I'm going to be out on the first load on the rapture. I'm not even going to have to come back. Just going to be me and Cheryl and Lily and anybody else that wants to go. Yeah, because as we start to go, I'm going to reach down and take Lily with me. I'm my puppy. So, Father, thank you for all the things you do for us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for fixing my eyes and everything. Thank you for restoring my body from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Thank you for making everything in my body work supernaturally well and healthy. Where that I can see perfectly, I can hear perfectly, I can run and walk and talk. I am so grateful, and that you're going to restore Christy, and you'll make her perfectly well and supernaturally healthy from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and you'll make her well and use her for your glory. I just thank you, Lord, for all your promises that are all yes and amen. So we're waiting for it to happen. It's done. In Jesus' name, it's done. And thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, and amen.